Well, it's the end of the week again. Let's have a little reminder of what has been.
A long jail term for a London trader who manipulated a key interest rate.
The judge, in his kind of closing remarks, very much said that the banking industry needed to learn and that Hayes needed to be made an example of, and that's exactly what's happened.
President Obama made waves this week by unveiling a comprehensive new plan to tackle climate change.
If you really believe that climate change is a bigger threat than, let's say, ISIS or a nuclear-armed Iran, then this regulatory mechanism is worth having.
Can you come back from holiday more stressed than when you left?
Packing, getting there, the weather's horrible, the food's horrible. I went to Fallaraki. When I came back, I needed another holiday.
There we are. It was the week that saw a young trader convicted of manipulating bank lending rates and sentenced to 14 years jail. It was also President Obama launching his clean power plan to try to tackle environmental change. And we had some reflections on the way in which summer holidays can be less relaxing than the work from which they're supposed to be a welcome break. Well, I've been chewing over all this with Charles Farrell of the Wall Street Journal here in London and John Authors of the Financial Times in New York. First, what did Charles make of that 14-year jail sentence for the LIBOR trader, Tom Hayes?
It's certainly a hefty jail term, no matter how you look at it. 14 years is a long time, certainly in the European and the British standards. That having been said, I mean, Hayes admitted that he was guilty. I mean, part of one of the strange things about this case is that he was initially cooperating with the SFO and talked to them extensively for many hours about how he manipulated LIBOR and was part of a large project to do so. The question is really, he thought, I think, that he could argue that it was part of the way things worked and he wasn't the only person. But the bottom line is he admitted that he did it, and the judge handed down the penalties.
Well, exactly. There's an element of the example being set. John, I mean, how did it strike you?
Hard to disagree that that sentence is distinctly on the high side. I think perhaps what's more important, though, is here in the States we're celebrating the final show of Jon Stewart.
The Daily Show host, the comedian, yes.
And one of his very final segments was to go through all the people he had taken on over the years and basically very ironically pointing out that all of them are prospering just as much as they did before. And in the case of the banks, he made a very funny play out of how much he had attacked the banks over the scandals and then segued to this one poor guy being nailed for LIBOR in London and saying what a great reckoning that was for that one guy. You would have thought there would have been more perp walks. The fact that the banks have been extremely seriously dented by the very big fines that have been levelled on them at the corporate level doesn't alter the fact from the public perception that they want to see perp walks, that they want to see individuals punished. This should contribute to this sense that life isn't as fun, that there could be a reckoning. It will be much harder to enjoy easy profits in future in the financial sector.
Well, while we're talking about changes in behaviour, I guess it's an appropriate moment to talk about the change in behaviour that really should perhaps affect the whole world. And President Obama was talking about it this week in relation to climate change and indeed what his administration intends to do. It was a pretty comprehensive idea, structure, if you like. Charles, do you think it answered the case? Do you think he got the high ground that he's clearly seeking in this?
I think he set out, it's pretty clear he set out an ambitious agenda and has put some stuff on the table. And I think what's especially important about that is heading into the global meeting on climate change, I guess at the end of this year in Paris, the U.S. will actually have something to bring to the table. And that is a remarkable change from the situation in 2009, famously in the Copenhagen climate talks where everybody sort of got together and with much anticipation, and it sort of fizzled in large part because the major players, specifically the U.S., did not bring enough to the table to meet the requirements of the Europeans and others. And so I think that this does fundamentally change the dynamics when you have one of the major sort of three, consider U.S., China, and the EU, the major emitters at the table. The EU certainly does have something, or did at least the last time around. Now the U.S. has something. So that's a substantial and noteworthy change.
Yeah, and John, I guess what President Obama is clearly thinking about, has to be really, is his legacy. And this is something that he clearly believes in and wants to do and is trying to push the American people. Do you think it will be seen in that light?
I think everything he does at this point is seen in terms of his legacy. Obviously, the last few months, his political fortunes have picked up quite dramatically with the Obamacare ruling with same-sex marriage, the reaction of the Confederate flag and so on. There is a sense that the country has turned back in his direction. The cynical view is that he's simply stating this for the record, knowing that it's not going to happen. One thing that I think is very important is what can happen in the domestic sphere. You can, thinking back to Woodrow Wilson failing to get his own idea of the League of Nations through the Senate, it was very interesting. The other big media event we've had recently on this side of the Atlantic was the first big Republican debate. And what was very interesting was none of the candidates were ever even asked about climate change, because there really is no controversy on the Republican side of American politics. They don't regard climate change as an issue. They tend to regard it as a hoax. The domestic politics of actually making this happen would be extremely complicated. He's obviously at this point thinking of his legacy, thinking he has nothing to lose with only a year or so to go in his presidency, and saying what he darn well thinks and trying to get what he wants done. Whether, rather similarly to Wilson, he's actually going to be able to bring his own country along with him is perhaps the biggest question.
Well, complications and headaches, I guess, are with quite a lot of people at the moment. You wouldn't expect it, because it's, in theory, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, the time for summer holidays and relaxation, and the fact that you two gentlemen are even here suggests you may not be entirely partaking in that. But, Charles, is the business of going on holiday, which we highlighted this week, actually almost more stressful than the work that you're escaping from?
Well, I try to adopt a strategy going on holiday of doing absolutely nothing at all, as much as I can with small children, but I'm trying to sort of clear the decks of things to do and obligations is, I find, a very good way to avoid the stress, but somehow it manages to arrive.
Have you managed to escape so far?
We always have it. I was in the U.S. for a bit, but I am headed off for an actual holiday in the end of this month, so I still have a little bit more work to do.
Work on the holiday too, probably, making sure it's as it should be. John, now, sources suggest that your experience may have been slightly stressful in your recent vacation.
Yes, I've had my vacation for the year. It didn't greatly help my ability to relax that my newspaper got sold in the middle of the vacation. Which did jolt the general atmosphere of relaxation. I mean, certain other newspapers know what it's like to change ownership in recent years. It's unlikely to be a calming event to return to. Also, I had the joy, I went home, I had what would have been a staycation if I was still living at home in England, of going to England. I had the joy of a 27-hour delay, much of which was spent in Gatwick Airport, courtesy of Norwegian Airways, and yes, that was not good. That was not good. I probably was more stressed by the time I got back than when I arrived.